Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Me and B are out west. Ashburn, VA. Commanders, mandatory camp starts today, and the big news that really shouldn't be a surprise is Terry McLaurin is not going to attend. Heard that in the update. A lot of people reported that. Nikki Jabala of the Post among them. Not a surprise.
Nope.
Not fun either. Like, this is the point where he's missing something that's mandatory. It's not great news. Like, I'm not going to
miss anything mandatory last time.
Yep.
It gets done.
I am with you, B. I think it's funny. I was walking in with somebody that played the receiver position at a really high level in the league, and he's like, "Man, it sucks. This is what has to happen. Terry has leverage right now. They just brought Debo in. Now they're both going to have expiring contracts at the same time. Like, this is when you do this." Mm-hmm. It's not like anybody's happy about it.
Nope.
Now, they might publicly, they're going to say no big deal, whatever. But, like, Terry's missing time with Jaden and Debo on the field. Like, it's not good news. I don't think it's the end of the world. I don't think people need to freak out. But you got to be honest. And
they will.
Sure, but at this level, it's not great. It's not the end of the world, but it's also not great.
Yeah. I mean, it's something that I'm not going to sit up here and worry about at this point right now. If we were locking up tonight or tomorrow in a football game and he wasn't signed, I'll be caring about it. This early in the season, knowing how he works, knowing how the connection he and Jaden had last year, I'm not concerned right now.
I'm with you. It's not great, but it's also not like the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
How much, if any, actual impact do you think it makes for Terry not to be out there with Tunsil, like presumably the full first team offense?
I don't think Tunsil has anything to do with Terry. I think the relationship with the receiver is with the quarterback. And they had a great relationship last year. So the quarterback, and then, hell, Tunsil blocking isn't no better for Terry. Terry's still running the routes the same way he always ran routes. I know people will try to sit up here and make things into what they want them to be, but the tackle being there, is to get more affiliated with the offensive line.
Sure, I just mean that everybody. I don't think it physically impacts the offense,
yeah.
Right? But just, you know, you've got everybody here now except one dude, presumably.
Yeah, but I think that even gets blown up. We know, just like we've talked about when the people that fall asleep in meetings and other places, guys that are at certain standards get to be able to hold out and do stuff like that. Guys that don't have those standards better damn well not do something like that.
Sure.
And I think when you're in that position of power and you have leverage, you have to utilize it. Hell, the teams do it when they have leverage. You know, and I think we've seen players do this every year. This is not a new thing. That is why I don't get troubled by it, because it happens all the time on multiple teams. It happens on this team. So I'm not concerned with it at this point. When we start getting ready for the games to be played, if something is not there then you're concerned. But right now, not at all.
I'm
about as worried as I was worried about the Oilers last night.
I mean, that was a disaster. Yeah. Did you watch that?
Yeah, I saw a lot of it. And, you know, everything was legal. But I just – that game I was watching, I'm like, okay, this Panthers team is damn good.
Yeah, I mean, Edmonton last night, dude, they just, like, lost it. They were sloppy early,
when
a ton of penalties early.
It was the second period of the game. And it wasn't illegal. He just lost his balance. He fell awkward, and he left out the game for some. But that team, when it's 5-on-5, it looks like they're playing the power play, the Panthers.
Last night it did, for sure.
Man, God.
I think, you know, the Terry situation, we saw this unfold 3 years ago when he signed a new deal. Mm-hmm. I hope people are able to maintain their cool. I'm not trying to pretend that this is a 0 out of 10. Now it's a 1.75 out of 10. Mm-hmm. If I know Terry pretty well, he'd like to be here. Mm-hmm. I think Jaden would love to have him here. I'm sure Cliff and Bobby Engram would love to have him here. Mm-hmm. But I think at the same time, people can walk and chew gum and understand that this is the business of football. And I hate to overuse that phrase,
true. I think every player understands that. You may be in that position later on. I think Cliff and Bobby, who have been in this league, understand that as well. You know, yeah, it's something that you have to – we discuss it, but I don't think it's nothing you need to blow out of proportion, because even the front office and the owners know if a guy is in the position that he's in now, the way he played last year, they're not going to training camp and all get nicked up, because guess what? All leverage goes then. So the last thing you remember is the 15 total touchdowns with the playoffs involved. That's what you remember. And I think guys are going to utilize that, and it's no different – than if Jamar Chase did it or anybody else. Same thing.
Yeah, I think the folks that start to freak out about stuff, and I think because of, like, the content era we live in, where, I mean, let's do a quick Terry McLaurin Google search, right? I imagine it's...
That'd be the first thing pop up.
It's Bleacher Report with, like, a list of stories, a list of teams he could be traded to. Mm-hmm. Actually, so far it all looks like just straight news. He's not coming. Sports Illustrated, here we go. Washington Commanders star missing minicamp sparks wild trade scenarios. Like, doesn't have to, and these trade scenarios are nothing but speculative. Like, these are not real reports. Now, it's interesting if you want to talk about teams that could actually, like, make a run at this. But if you're Washington, you're the Commanders, and they just brought in a veteran left tackle, a new veteran wide receiver. I'm not saying this is the Bengals, who have clearly gone all in to try to consider they're in a window right now by paying both of those wideouts and stuff. But well, like
the quarterback told him you better do that.
Right. But like Washington is here to win this year. You think this is about a third-round pick in the future? Like, this is just normal football business. This is just operation, man. Mm-hmm. And I think you should try not to get caught up in the inevitable content play. Could Terry be frustrated? Yes. But, like, this is also normal. This happened 3 years ago when he got a contract extension.
Yeah.
Terry might be frustrated that the deal's not done. Understandably. He wants a deal done.
Yeah.
He just got married. He probably wants financial security, right?
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think this needs to become overblown. Perhaps it will be.
Well, I mean, some people are going to overblow it. I think the way it comes down to the way you handle it, because I think everyone understands what position he's in right now. People understand it, but you know what? They rather blow stuff out of proportion. That's what media is today. That's what, like, content game is not just the people that don't work in the media. Media is content game too. And they want to be more irrational when it comes to stuff like this. But hell, this is not, if it was something out the blue new, this has been going on since hell, before I played and when I played. You know, those type of things has always happened. And it's a guy who, yes, he wants to be here. But you know what? Sometimes you got to just say, no, I'm not going to go. I guarantee he's working out. He's ready to go. He's not sitting at home on his ass doing nothing.
I tend to agree with you, man. I think, would you like Terry to be running around in the offense with Debo on the field and Jaden throwing it to him and Ertz and everybody else? Yes. Like, nobody's acting like this is great. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to stress that I don't think people should flip
but see,
out. Like, the sky is not falling.
It's like fans and media act like the person who's involved does not have any rights or any feelings. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I want you out there running. Well, you know what? I will be out there running when things are done right in the other way. Then I can just go out there and worry about that and nothing else. And this is something that has happened for years, you know? So he has a right. And yes, do you like it? No. But guess what? I think that dude who's very professional, he hasn't become some other person because he's not here today. He's the same dude that everybody was loving last year. He hadn't been loving for the last 6-7 years. You know what I mean? But when you have to handle yours, you got to do the things that you have in your toolbox. You can't worry about what the other person talk about in their toolbox. He has the ability to do what he's doing right now in his toolbox. He has that clout. He has leverage in his toolbox, and he has to utilize it.
And, dude, I just – this is also public, and the dollar figures are so significant that people get caught up in it. But, like, this kind of stuff happens. If a lawyer gets an offer from another law firm, he might leverage that with his current law firm to make partner or whatever. Like,
yeah.
It's business. And I just – I don't think people should be overly alarmed. I personally – still very much believe they get a deal done. I don't think Terry's going anywhere. I'm not buying into the trade rumors and discussions. I suppose you can't definitively close the door on that stuff. But what I go back to is Adam Peters, the general manager of the team, saying we want him to be a Commander for a long time. And with that on the record, for a dude that doesn't say much on the record about what could be a pending contract negotiation, I don't think it needs to be a huge deal. It's obviously, you know, he is now missing something that is mandatory that changes the conversation. However, I don't think it's all that significant. The exact same process unfolded 3 years ago when Terry was going into the last year of his rookie deal, wanted the new deal. I mean, dude, how many guys aren't at mini camps across the league, you think? I bet there are a number of significant names. People keep wanting to talk about Jalen Ramsey. I'm confident he's not at mini camp. Trey Hendrickson, not at mini camp with the Bengals. I think, what's my guy's name in Pittsburgh? The guy that broke the sack record. TJ Watt, not at mini camp for the Steelers. Dude, DK Metcalf just got the new deal, just got traded to Pittsburgh, and he missed all the OTAs. Like, Hassan Reddick got an extension to go to Tampa.
But see, that's the thing, man. The players, everyone acts as if they have no rights whatsoever, and they shouldn't utilize what they have, but that's what everybody else in the world does. You know, that's when it comes down to the selfishness of everybody around this sport. We want them doing what we want them to do. But sometimes they got to do what they need to do to make sure things are how they need them to be. And they may not get exactly what they want, but you know what? They'll get more than what they were offered the first time. That's negotiation, baby. And, I mean, people got to get used to it, and then they're going to talk about it a lot. You know me? I care less.
I think I am past caring less. Like I said, I was at a 0 out of 10 about all the OTAs. Mm-hmm. I'll go to 1.75. That's as high as I'll go.
1.75. I know what you say, 1.75. I'm thinking about a big bottle of bourbon. A handle. That's the 1.75 I'm thinking about at this point.
I think
– just thinking about it.
I mean, I think the structure of a deal is pretty simple. I think you just base it on what Metcalf did. We can open the phone lines up because I'm sure a ton of people have a lot to say on this. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Obviously, Terry McLaurin not at minicamp. It looks like he might already have a call. I want to check in with the boys in the aquarium on this one. We'll start with Landfill. Landini, where do you land, man, on Terry not being here?
It's not great. It would obviously be better if he was there and they had a contract and everybody was happy. I don't like it.
Where are you on a scale of 1 to 10?
Like a 5.
Okay. You have real concern that it doesn't get done?
I think they're going to get done, but obviously I'd feel better about it getting done if they had already got it done.
That's reasonable. How about my man Jeffrey? Is Jeff worried?
I'm going to be worried until it's done. Because it's like you don't know what's going to happen. You know, I know he said he wanted to be a commander, wanted Terry to be a commander for a long time. But what if Terry don't like the deal that he's getting? And what if someone throws him more? That's just me, though. I worry about all possibilities all the time. But we need to get it done. I'll be calm when the news break. Terry McLaurin has signed so and so and so and so.
You got any words of wisdom for young Jeffrey?
Listen, bro. As we do this show on a daily basis, Jeff is an Ultra fan. Landfill is a fan. You're a media guy, and I'm a former player that's in the media. We all going to think different every time something pops up. I look at it just like a player would look at it. Hell, I got to do what I got to do. I can care less what everybody else think about it, okay? Then the fan, in their selfish way, like they want everything done how they want it done immediately. Landfill has that thing of being sometimes like in the middle. Like, okay, I can understand both sides of it, you know? And then you are a fan who is a media guy who understands. You got to let the fandom go sometimes and go at it from a media point. And if you listen to everything we discuss, it's always the same answers and stance of everybody on this show. And then if White Brian was in, I don't know if he is or not, he's a Giants fan, so he could care less. He's probably happy.
He probably wants it to go sideways.
You know, like my buddy Ben, he's a damn.
Is that the one that can't hit a driver?
He can't hit a driver, can't hit nothing. But he always concerned about this team because his team up the road is supposed to be in the Super Bowl every year, keep getting their ass kicked every time they go in the playoffs. So he talks about our team instead of his team. So I expect the same stuff every time any topic pop up.
I'm looking at an ESPN story from this morning about key players that might not go to minicamp because mm-hmm. it's minicamp season, right? Kirk Cousins, James Cook, Trey Hendrickson, Shamar Stewart, which makes no sense. It's a rookie deal. I don't know what the hell since he's doing there. Like, it's a rookie deal. They're slotted. They're all laid out before you. I do not understand what is going on there. Something about contract language.
Like, the language is what's key.
Yo, but you hear about that in the third round because there's a weird loophole with offsets. Mm-hmm. These first-round deals are pretty ironclad.
But still, like, you got to realize, teams that are cheap, they try to put stuff in there that's going to screw you in the end. And I think you got to make sure it's right so you don't get screwed. And that's what that's about right there. Like, the numbers are what they are. They're there. But if they put the wording in there probably, you may not see that money. You might get one of those national-type deals where you don't get all your money until 15, 20 years down the road.
Sure. I mean, my point in Micah Parsons is not expected to attend minicamp. Mm-hmm. Jalen Ramsey, who's a guy that people call into the show all the time and say to go get him, isn't attending minicamp as they're trying to work out a deal there. I want to open the phone lines up. 800-636-1067. We're going to let you guys tell us how you feel about the Terry situation. Brian is a 0 out of 10. I'm a 1.75. I think this is a nothing burger that gets settled around the 4th of July. You know why I think that? Because history repeats itself. And last time we had this situation, Terry McLaurin signed a 3-year.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Contract extension on July 6th. So I'm gonna lean on the people involved that I believe what they say in Terry and Adam Peters. You guys get your say next.
I will double down on what I said a couple of days ago. I don't think this is something to be concerned about. And I'm not worried about Terry McLaurin getting a deal in place with the Commanders. I also don't really have an issue with him not being there. Same guy that was mad when Marshon Lattimore wasn't at the voluntary stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very different. Every situation, every player, every scenario is different. Terry McLaurin's going to show up. He's going to be in great shape. He's going to be ready to play. He's going to be a leader in the locker room when it is time to show up. But on this one, for me, it's so easy. This is what happens when you and your team are at odds on a contract.
Mm-hmm.
See Trey Hendrickson, not in Bengals camp today. See TJ Watt, not in Steelers camp today. There are other examples. James Cook actually did show up, surprisingly, for the Bills, but is doing some version of a hold-in. This is what you do. This is the one card as a player that you have to put down and use. This is your leverage. It's all you got. And he's trying to get a deal, and this is just part of that process. So am I upset? No. Am I nervous? No. When will that change? Training camp. If day one of training camp rolls around and he has not been signed, first of all, I'll already be shocked. Because he signed well ahead of training camp the last time we did this a couple years ago. He signed right around the 4th of July.
Yeah, early July, yeah.
Camp normally starts 3 weeks after that. But if camp day one begins and Terry McLaurin is not only not signed, but then no shows and the acrimony is building, that's when now I am officially frustrated with the team and even upset with McLaurin. And that's now when I'm nervous about where this thing is headed. But until then, and the chances of that actually happening are slim to none anyway, this is close to a nothing burger for me.
It's more than zero. It's not a 10 for me. I understand your point, and I think everything you said is logically correct. To me, it's looking at the glass that's got some water in it, and we're going, is it 3 7/10 empty or 3/10 full, just a different way to look at the same thing. We're looking at the same information. Very similar conclusion. I'm not going down the panic road. That's not where I am. There's a track record here for both parties where this would certainly make sense for a deal to get done. My only point is, and there's no other way kind of around this, I'm focused on the fact that it's not yet. And until it is, just like with the RFK being at DC when the shovel's in the ground or other things I assume are going to happen or would bet on happening, I would still bet on this. I wouldn't get a great return on investment because it's very likely to happen. Until it happens, I've seen things go south. I've seen the parting of ways. I've seen him, I'm not saying McLaurin, but for example, could go, I want 35. We don't think you're worth 35. You're worth 33? He's like, well, it's not enough. And how entrenched are you going to be? How much, you know, do you end up feeling insulted or slighted during negotiations? Great intentions can turn sour when it doesn't happen in due course. So the other big part of it, though, is the calendar. This is something where I'm very aware of the world we live in. Like just now, I had a meeting in Rockville before coming here. It took me an hour. I'm going to bitch about that. I'm going to be annoyed about that it took me that long to come from Rockville and that the GW Parkway is one lane and every way was red and everything about it stunk. I'll be annoyed about it for a second, but I also acknowledge that's the world I live in. This is the area where I happen to live. The same way, and you've already addressed this and you said it very well, that Jalen Ramsey, Terry McLaurin, Trey Hendrickson, Jonnu Smith, whoever else is agitating for something, this is the only thing. I wish this wasn't the way it went. I don't like that. I want to practice and also get the contract done. But this is the way of the world.
It's what you got.
It's just what you got.
It's the whatever leverage you have.
Yeah.
I mean, and
it's very little.
In our world, we don't really have something.
Right.
Right? If we did, you'd probably use it.
Mm-hmm.
This is business.
Yep. You know,
football, not the fun part, but it is a business. And mm-hmm. So the agent takes over and tells you, hey, don't show up that day. Show up this day. And that's why I don't really get upset with players
right. That
are dealing with contract situations, in this case, dispute. With Terry McLaurin and the team, that handle it this way. 1 to 10, me, your ire, you know, your frustration on this. I'm not saying you're panicking or you're livid or anything like that, but we can open up the phones on this too, because I am willing to and interested in taking the temperature of the fan base to just get an idea of your level of frustration here, either with the team that they haven't paid him, with the player that he hasn't agreed, or just with the situation altogether. You might not be upset at anybody.
Right.
McLaurin's doing the right thing. The team's doing the right thing. But man, do I wish that one of my favorite players and best players was at work. I mean, it might be that simple.
Yeah.
800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Like, my ire scale, as an example, on this, on a 1 to 10, where 10 is I am irate,
mm-hmm.
I'm debating between a 1 and a 2. And I'm really low on this. This, to me, is just, it's part of the calendar.
Yeah.
And if we didn't just go through this a couple of years ago, maybe I'd feel differently. But we literally did. 2 years ago. He didn't come to this batch of mandatory workouts and still got a deal done within a month of right now. We've kind of got the blueprint already.
Mm-hmm.
With a worse front office, by the way.
Yep.
With a worse everything, from management to coaching staff to the person that says hello when you walk in the building, and they figured out how to do it. My guess is these guys will too.
Yeah, probably similar number, maybe even a 2. And it's here's the only thing I would add to what you just said. This one, I'm trying to formulate the right words here. All the rhetoric and all the messaging, both internal and what gets out externally, is Terry's so special. So I wish it wasn't like the rest of the league. Does that make sense? Like, this is what everyone's doing. Everyone's holding out, or everyone's doing the missing mandatory minicamp, and it just, this is when it gets done. This is how we do it. What if he was so special and so beloved and so much your guy that you got it done sooner? You know what I mean? Like, what if we treated it like it's different instead of just sort of waiting around in March and May and June and sort of, well, maybe we'll meet, maybe he'll be at OTAs, and then he left. What if you treated it like it was so special?
So my answer to that, though, is I think that the quicker you do it, the more player-friendly the deal is. And that the longer you wait, the more that you'll end up meeting in the middle and get a reasonable deal done. Just historically speaking.
Sure. That's the normal course of things, yeah.
And I think that that's important here and should be a concern, should be a consideration. Terry McLaurin is going to try to get as much money as possible.
Rightfully so.
As he should. And the team is going to try to pay him as little as possible.
Again, rightfully so.
As they should. And so if you paid him right at the start of the offseason, before he went out and looked at the market and all of those things, you might have actually possibly been able to save some money. You could make the case because DK hadn't been paid and some of those things hadn't happened yet. But agents have already done the math. They've already done the calculations. They already know that Chase is asking for 40, so we're asking for 35, and then Chase ends up getting 35 with Jefferson or whatever, and so now we're getting 33. So I just think that it's the process.
Mm-hmm.
Would I like it to have been concluded already and done? Of course I would. Yeah, no, absolutely. Sure, no problem. But I've just never been more confident that a player's not going to walk out the door because it's this guy. There isn't a truer version of what they want to be. And so the way there's almost like a piece for me in the fact that if for some reason he left, one of two things is true. The first is he just decided he didn't want to be here, which I don't think is a possibility in any way. But the second is he wanted such a crazy amount that it's actually beneficial to let him walk. Like, respectfully to Terry McLaurin, like the Instagram guy who ranks all the wives of coaches and owners. He's like, respectfully.
Respectfully.
You know that guy? Respectfully to Terry McLaurin, I don't want to pay him $35 million a year. I shouldn't pay him $35 million a year. I'm happy to overpay him and give him $32 or $33 million because that's what the market's dictating, even though he's a little bit older and, you know, the comps now say that's what he should get with a Brandon Ayuk's number and DK Metcalf's number. I'll take care of you, buddy. We're going to give you $32, $33 million. But I'm not giving him a blank check. I think Commanders fans mostly just say, whatever it takes, get this thing over with. That's not how I feel. I never feel that way, really, mm-hmm. about any player. Maybe I could do that with a quarterback like a Joe Burrow or, you know, some franchise guy that I got a chance to have for 15, 18 years, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, you know, Lamar Jackson, whoever it might
Hopefully
be.
Hopefully Daniels in a couple years.
Right. Jaden Daniels, mm-hmm. when we get to that point, could absolutely be in that category. But mostly certainly with a receiver, I'm not doing that. And not a receiver that he had a career year, that complicates this. You know about my other philosophy.
Of course.
I hate letting guys break the bank after career years. Now, in the case of Terry McLaurin, you're my sweet prince. You do everything the right way. I'm willing to pay you as much for that as anything you do on the field, just because everything that you do when it's not 1-4 on Sunday is what I want everyone in this locker room to do. So that's worth a lot of money to me. Then I add in that right now you're probably somewhere between 10 and 12 in the NFL at wide receiver. But if you remember last year, I felt like he was like 15 to 18 going into the year because he's not a separator. He's not, you know, a route. He's not routing people up. He's a contested catch maven and, you know, he get behind people and makes plays. But we saw him have the monster year in his first year with a real quarterback.
Yes, indeed, with all the red zone targets, red zone touchdowns. Like he had more red zone touchdowns than he had in any previous 2 years combined, which speaks to quarterback play and the like. I mean, his touchdown numbers are a bit out of whack. I mean, those can fluctuate. We can never forget Calvin Johnson had a year, I think, with two touchdown receptions. Like, who would be better in the red zone than that guy, one of the all-time greats? So I don't expect a 13-touchdown floor now from here on out. But the point is, he was probably overdue for a correction of the positive direction after so many years of 4 and 5. So, yeah, I mean, it's, I guess my only point is, I don't disagree with anything you're saying. And I don't think I'm offering a more panicked version or more upset version, just sort of maybe painting the other side of it. And that is to say, all of those reasons that you mentioned, why everybody's got an argument walking into this room, makes me think that argument might go on for a while. Like, everyone's got a good argument here.
And it can.
Yeah.
There's no games being played until September.
Right.
And Terry McLaurin's not a guy, by the way, that I'm worried about when he, like, if he showed up the day before the season, he goes 7 for 76 in the week one. I really believe that. There's not a new offense here. There's not a new quarterback. This is not someone you just drafted or signed or who stunk last year like Marshawn Lattimore. So I just, every situation's a little bit different for me. And when the lights come on in week one, if he's on the field, he's going to go play football and ball out. I'm not saying this is ideal. It's mm-hmm. actually the antithesis of that.
Right.
but there are actual problems that this...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Team has that can't be fixed between now and week one, in my opinion, without them throwing some resources at these issues.
Mm-hmm.
And Terry McLaurin's contract is not one of them.
Minicamp day number one will get underway this afternoon at 1 o'clock. Dan Quinn supposed to speak in the 12 o'clock hour, probably close to 12:30-ish. We'll try to carry that live. David Aldridge is going to join us before that. We'll talk some NBA Finals with David. J.I. Halsell is a DMVer and a longtime salary cap expert and NFL agent. He had a couple of players picked in the most recent draft. Always love to have J.I. on to talk about contract stuff and salary cap stuff because he has a very keen understanding of all of it. I had him on my podcast yesterday to really talk about the Terry situation, but we ended up talking about a lot more than that. But we started with Terry's going to be a holdout from mandatory minicamp, more likely than not. He had expressed frustration last week, or certainly there were reports that he was frustrated. And I asked J.I. to weigh in on his sort of overall thoughts on the Terry situation contract-wise here in D.C.
The challenge for him is he's clearly number one wide receiver, even with the arrival of Deebo Samuel. I think the challenge, though, for him is he's 29, right? And I think what you see in Terry McLaurin's scenario is a situation really not too different than Chris Godwin, minus the injury part of the Chris Godwin scenario, right? So when I think about, okay, you've got a number one wide receiver, but he's 29 years old, how do you, and we know that the number one wide receiver market is in excess of $30 million per year, you're the Washington Commanders, how do you find some middle ground to give him a market-appropriate deal, given the fact, though, that, again, he's 29 years old?
Okay, so before we get to what you think that looks like, what do you think of that report last week? Is that just an agent trying to create leverage?
Well, it is likely coming from the agent trying to create leverage by saying, you know, that his client is disappointed with kind of the pace and tenor of the conversation. But, I mean, look, again, he is exactly what you want in the locker room. He's exactly what you want from a culture-building standpoint. The fact that, yeah, that we are here, now, granted, look, we've still got another, you know, month and a half or so before we get to training camp, but the fact that it sounds like they're not further along in the contract conversation, I'm sure is frustrating for both Terry and his agent.
What do you make of just the Adam Peters 49ers experience and the reputation the 49ers have for, you know, letting these things sort of drag on and getting them done at the 11th hour? Do you think some of that's in play right now?
Sure, without a doubt. I mean, that's the culture that Adam grew up in from a front office cap management standpoint. I think the key word that you mentioned there, though, is that ultimately the deals do get done. And I suspect that, you know, won't be any different for Terry McLaurin, especially given who he is both on the field and in the locker room.
So, Terry, you mentioned 29. He'll be 30 when the season starts or a week into the season. And you mentioned Chris Godwin. I think a lot of people listening would say immediately, Terry's a lot better than Chris Godwin. I think Godwin's a good receiver. I think Terry would be ahead of Godwin. Godwin's always been a number two to Mike Evans when both have been healthy. But, you know, given the age and then what else is in play here? Like, from Terry's side and Terry's agent side, what do you think they're looking for?
I mean, they're obviously looking for a deal reflective of a number one wide receiver, regardless of what his age is, and that's a deal in excess of $30 million per year. If you're telling me that Brandon Ayuk can get $30 million per year, why can't Terry McLaurin get $30 million plus per year? And the club will say, well, Brandon Ayuk's a lot younger than Terry McLaurin, so we don't feel comfortable paying a receiver who will be 30 years old in the middle of this season a number in excess of 30. So now you have to start looking at, okay, well, what's the lower tier number one wide receiver market, the high end number two wide receiver market, coupled with the fact that we just gave Deebo Samuel a reworked deal that has a one-year average per year value of 24, or just under $24 million.
Right.
So, you know, those are all of the different parameters and considerations, right? T. Higgins is a number two wide receiver in Cincinnati and is making just under $29 million per year. And I'm not saying that Terry McLaurin is or is not T. Higgins, but, again, T. Higgins is a number two wide receiver making 29. So, therefore, if I'm Terry McLaurin, how can you tell me that I should make less than 29. So these are all of the different things that kind of come into play when we're trying to craft a win-win deal, both on the Washington side of this and the Terry McLaurin side of this.
Jay, I get into this a lot, especially this time of year and for the last few years when it comes to Terry. And that is, you know, what is he really? You know, to me, I've said this many times before, there is an elite group here of wide receivers. To me, it's Chase and Jefferson, and then we can start talking about tier two receivers. If you want to throw A.J. Brown into that tier one, I don't think he's at their level, but I know some people will throw him into that level. How do you view the wide receivers and Terry's place among them?
No, I agree. He's not at the elite level, so he's not going to command $35 million-plus per year. But like I said 2 seconds ago, if Brandon Ayuk is a $30 million per year wide receiver, then Terry McLaurin should be a $30 million per year wide receiver just purely based upon just looking at players side by side.
Right.
T. Higgins is a number two wide receiver and is $29 million per year. Deebo is 24. And then you've got guys like Devontae Smith at 25. And so, like, that second tier of wide receivers is kind of in that $30 million per range. But again, the thing working against Terry McLaurin is the fact that he'll be 30 years old during the course of this season. So where is the middle ground? And there are other considerations structurally to kind of mitigate the risk for the club and for Terry to make more money. But I think from a pure APY standpoint, you're probably looking at a deal at the top end of $20 million per, you know, 25 plus per year.
Yeah. I mean, I've suggested that it's got to be right around 30. It's not Jamar's 40. It's not Jefferson's 35. I don't even think because of the age, it's CeeDee Lamb's 34 million or Metcalf's 33 or A.J. Brown's 32. I mean, but it's you know, right around where, you know, Tariq Hill signed a deal, by the way, at 30 million per year, and they're basically the same age. And to your point, and I was a big Brandon Ayuk fan this time last year. He got injured, you know, and the holdout was kind of contentious and a bit ugly, but I think Brandon Ayuk is a number one wide receiver in this league when healthy. We'll find out, you know, in the years ahead. But to me, it just feels like $30 million a year. Do you think the team will go there? And just give me an idea of what you think the structure would be.
Yeah, I think if Terry absolutely needs to have $30 million per year attached to his contract, I think what you could see is similar to what I think it was the Raiders, Devontae Adams deal, definitely the Tyreek Hill Dolphins deal, where that last year of the deal is really inflated so that it gets the total value of the deal to a $30 million per year deal. But in reality, it's really more a 27.5, 28 per year deal over those first two or three years. I think I'm not too different than you. I don't know that he's a $30 million per year wide receiver, but I do think that he's a 28 or 29. And when we're talking about so what's the difference there? I mean, you're talking about the difference of like $3 to $6 million over the total value of the deal. And
right,
don't get me wrong, $3 to $6 million is a lot of money, but I do think that he's probably in that 28, 29 per year range, because I think T. Higgins is a great kind of barometer in that he is an elite number two wide receiver. He's at $29 million per year. Terry McLaurin is a number one wide receiver, albeit going into his age 30 season. And I think those two dynamics kind of offset each other, which then say Terry McLaurin is probably around T. Higgins' $29 million per year.
Prediction, will it get done before camp?
I think so. It has to get done. I think Adam Peters has seen the importance of having kind of these pillar players in your locker room as you try to build culture, whether it was the George Kittles of the world when he was in San Francisco. Terry McLaurin is one of those types of guys from a locker room standpoint. And like a George Kittle, he is super productive on the field as well. So my sense is they get this deal done maybe just a little bit ahead of training camp so that it doesn't become a distraction as we go into camp. And my prediction is that, yeah, it's probably in that 28, 29 per year range.
All right, I want to ask you about a couple of other players. What do you think happens with Trey Hendrickson in Cincinnati?
That one's super contentious, right? And he's another player whose age is working against him, right? But he's still playing at a high level. This one, he could be this year's Hassan Reddick, in that this one could drag into the regular season with missed games for him, missed game checks and fines. But I really do see this one potentially being the 2025 version of Hassan Reddick.
What do you think he deserves? Because he's a much better player than Hendricks, than Hassan Reddick is as a pass rusher. He's a dominant pass rusher.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, but at the same time, you know, he's not going to get elite edge money because of his age. He's 30 plus years old. And
so is Danielle Hunter.
You know, and Danielle's still playing at a high level. I mean,
yeah,
just like Trey Hendrickson. And Houston reworked the deal that they just signed with him last offseason to reflect that.
Right.
So I say all that to say that, okay, why can't Cincinnati do that? Because Cincinnati has just a history of, quite frankly, being cheap with their contracts in terms of how they structure them and what the values are. And when they've just paid T. Higgins and just paid Jamar Chase, already paid the quarterback, at some point you got to, you know, skimp, for lack of a better word, somewhere else. And, you know, for them, it might have been wise to trade Trey Hendrickson when they had the opportunity to, so that he could go get this contract elsewhere. And that's not to say that that won't happen down the road here. But he's deserving of a high-end edge contract, not elite, because of the age.
You're better at this than I am, much better. If he did get traded, if I told you he got traded, you know, let's just say before camp started or during camp, what do you think the compensation Cincinnati would accept is right now?
Look, they're in a tough spot just because the world knows that the player doesn't want to be there. The world knows that, you know, they want him at a bargain basement price, but probably won't. He's not going to play under that. So therefore, they have no leverage when coming up with trade compensation. Now, given that he's an elite, or not an elite, he plays an elite position of edge rusher, an important position, I should say. Maybe it's a mid-round pick. Maybe it's a fifth-round pick. But it's not going to be like a top 100 pick, third-round
really?
Pick higher.
Really?
It's probably, yeah, it's just, if you want to go get a player and you know that there is angst between player and his current team, it really devalues what you can probably get.
Well, then there's no way they're trading him. There's no way, because they wanted a first and a night two pick before the draft.
Right. But now, as you, this is where the other clubs start playing like, okay, you guys can live with this headache if you want to. We're going to start getting into training camp, and we're going to start getting into the part of camp where coaches like just want to eliminate distractions, and this is going to be a big distraction that Zach Taylor's going to have to answer at every press conference. At some point, if you know you're not going to give the player the contract he wants, you got to get something in return, and yeah, it might be a fifth-round pick, but that's why I said 2 seconds ago, perhaps they should have moved on earlier, because then they would have probably gotten more in return via trade.
Do you have any idea what Nick Chubb got from the Texans?
I don't, but I would imagine it's probably something very close to the league minimum, just because
injuries.
You know, the position he plays, because they already have Joe Mixon there, because it seems like he's still working back from the knee injury. My sense is it's probably a 1 year league minimum deal.
Do you think J.K. Dobbins is in that same boat?
Well, at least J.K. Dobbins, he was, when he was healthy last year in L.A., their primary back.
Yeah.
He beat out the Gus Bus to be the primary back there with the Chargers. So I think his calculus is slightly different, but it is just a function of where we are with the running back market from a supply and demand standpoint, that a good player like a J.K. Dobbins is still out there in free agency.
How do you think it works out in Buffalo with James Cook?
Yeah, so I actually just did an interview with our old buddy Ryan O'Halloran, who used to cover Washington for the Post, and he now covers the Bills, and I was talking with him about James Cook's situation. I think here's the thing about James Cook is that he's done it for 2 years in a row now in terms of being a Pro Bowl caliber running back. You know what you have in James Cook, both on the field and in the locker room. Those are the guys that you should reward as an organization, regardless of the position, right? And what I was telling to Ryan was that with James Cook, and you've seen this with a lot of the other running back deals as of late, they're only like 2 or 3 year extensions, right? And so maybe James Cook, who's also relative to the running back position, a little bit older, like he's going into his age 26 season here in 2025. So if you do a 2 year extension, if you're the Bills with James Cook, now you get him for age 26, 27, 28, the prime of his career as a running back. And I get James Cook's going to want some more security than that, like a longer deal. But the fact of the matter is, you know, they're probably not. I think you could see a James Cook deal coming in at, say, $20 million total guaranteed on a 2 year extension. So the win for him is that he gets that kind of generational guaranteed money. But then for the Buffalo Bills, you're not having to pay him that guarantee as if, you know, he's going to be on a 3 or 4 or 5 year extension. And then more importantly, mathematically, without going into all of the math, let's just say his deal was worth just under $13 million per year, new money. When you factor in what he's supposed to make this year, which is a little over $5 million, you're actually going to end up paying him $10 million over the next 3 seasons, which is the same amount of money that the Vikings are paying Aaron Jones. So if you're the Buffalo Bills, if I can get James Cook at an Aaron Jones price for the next three seasons, you do that deal.
If I told you that, let's just say Trey Hendrickson re-signed in Cincinnati, but Washington added an edge pass rusher before the season started from the group of, let's just say, Clowney, Za'Darius Smith, Judon, Von Miller, I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody else that's out there right now. Who do you think would make the most sense?
If Hendrickson was off the market?
Yes.
All those guys you just listed are older,
yep.
Right? Especially when we talk about Clowney and Von Miller. I don't love really any of those options, but I do understand the need in having to go get one. Von Miller's still a highly productive player when healthy, right? So perhaps Von Miller, but again, this is a guy who is going into like year 15 of his career at this juncture. So, but Von Miller, again, is still a highly productive player when healthy. So I would probably have to go with Von Miller of that group of aging edge players.
By the way, because you answered with Hendrickson being off the market first, if we said that it actually required to get Hendrickson a third rounder and a player, say Johnny Newton, all right, would you do that deal if you're Washington? And then you got to pay him.
Yeah, and then you've got to pay him, right? I think you have to see, okay, if they're not happy with their existing edge players, then yes. I think for a team that is on the cusp of being a Super Bowl contender and maybe winning a whole thing, in this league, as the Eagles showed in the Super Bowl, you got to be able to rush the passer, mm-hmm. right? And Trey Hendrickson's a guy, in spite of his age, who can do that. I think if it requires giving up a young player like Newton and giving up a mid-round pick, like a third-round pick, I think you do that deal.
Did the Steelers get a good deal in Rodgers for what they paid?
In the short term, yes, but they still haven't solved their long-term quarterback issue, and maybe they went into it thinking, we don't really like this year's crop of quarterbacks in the draft, and we already went through the Kenny Pickett experience, so let's go hit and let's run it with Aaron Rodgers this year with the eye towards going to get one of the young signal callers in next year's draft. But they definitely got a bargain basement deal. It's being reported that he got about $13 million as the base value of the deal. That can go up to $19 million. For a starting caliber quarterback, that's a significant bargain for the Steelers. Obviously he's got a lot that comes with him, but I think some of that is overstated, quite frankly. They've managed their quarterback room really interesting the past couple of off seasons. When you think about last year, the two-headed quarterback room of Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, who they got both of those guys at value, and then now to get an Aaron Rodgers at a value as well. Again, great short-term solutions, but they still need to find the long-term answer.
All right, two more for you. Number one is, just because I'm curious, especially after Rodgers signed in Pittsburgh, which was expected, you think Kirk Cousins just backs up Penix Jr. in Atlanta this year? It doesn't seem like there's a landing spot for him.
Yes. I think that from a Falcons front office perspective, you just view Kirk Cousins as a expensive insurance policy. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that concept. Now, the price point, yeah, it is a little steep given what you paid him last year in free agency, but he's an expensive insurance policy at the most important position on the roster. And if you are the Atlanta Falcons, you made it very clear from a roster building standpoint, you wanted to be very, very secure and strong at quarterback. And that's why you go and sign Kirk Cousins last offseason and go draft Michael Penix in the first round. And so you are comfortable with, having an expensive insurance policy if that means that we've got the quarterback room solidified.
All right, last one. After Barkley's contract last year in Philadelphia, I want to know if you have thoughts on the next running back that will sign a blockbuster deal that will exceed Barkley's, $20 to $21 million a year.
It could be Bijan.
Right.
I think it just depends upon, yeah, does he have a true breakout season, which he hasn't yet, right? And I think when you're the Atlanta Falcons, talking about Falcons again, I don't think that they've shown necessarily, like, they're not adverse to investing money into their guys. Now, they're going to have to pay Drake London as well at some point here, too. But, yeah, Bijan, I think, just off the top of my head, is probably the next guy. We'll see kind of where the Kyren Williams deal lands, because that one seems like it's pretty close, but it's not going to be an elite deal in the Saquon Barkley neighborhood. I think just because of his pedigree and if he can have a truly breakout season, Bijan might be the guy.
That makes sense to me. I was going to say either Bijan or Gibbs. I mean, we're still a couple years away from Gibbs, but he might be the one right after Bijan.
This is year three of Jahmyr Gibbs in Detroit. I think some will say, and look, he has shown that he can be the bell cow when David Montgomery is hurt. They've had some of those games, right? But particularly if they can win, at all. Like, that kind of honeymoon after winning tends to allow guys to get paid. And so I don't think you're wrong in terms of Jahmyr Gibbs could also be another one of those guys. I think, yeah, he and Bijan might be the two guys who, if the stars align, could get to that 20-plus million.
Right. I was confused there from they got picked in the same year, in the same draft, by the way, both in the first round. Thanks for doing this, as always. Glad you're well. Happy birthday to you again.
I appreciate it, Kev.
Yeah, that's J.I. Halsell at SalaryCap101 on X on Twitter. So the contract situation with Terry is, you know, currently one of the top storylines entering this summer. Today's day one of mandatory minicamp. What's interesting is to consider what's next, because the answer to that, I think, is revealing as to what kind of roster.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Washington really has.
It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP. That is the foursome. We've got Mike Rizzo, Nats GM, president of baseball ops, joining us at 9 o'clock, but jumping on the Rude guest hotline right now. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. It's Joel Corey, used to be an NFL agent. Now he is an analyst for CBS Sports. Do you miss the agency business, Joel?
I don't miss the babysitting aspect of being an agent. Because sometimes people would ask me what I did for a living, and I would jokingly say professional babysitting. So there are parts I do miss. more or less the interaction with the players for the most part in the negotiation of the contracts, but some of the other stuff, no.
How do you like negotiating? We've negotiated a bunch of contracts through agents or whatever, and it's always the most painful time of our tenure. How do you enjoy that?
Yeah, well, if you're not negotiating or it's relating to you, it's totally different when doing it for somebody else. So I understand you being emotionally invested in your own deal, why it wouldn't be a fun process.
Right. But for you, it is.
I've always enjoyed stuff like that.
Yeah.
Joel, in your years as an agent, did you ever sit across the table from Adam Peters? Have you ever negotiated with him, the current GM of the Commanders?
No, I got out before he started rising the ranks, and he's not the primary negotiator. I think they hired somebody from the Lions who took over for Rob Rogers.
And is that standard now that these general managers, like they, you know, the frontmen for the organization, is they're the final say in many instances of a lot of these things, but do they actually have guys that do the actual gritty negotiations? Is that kind of standard now or no?
Yeah, it's been standard for a long time. Every team's had at least one or two people who handle contract negotiations and also the domain of managing the salary cap. In Green Bay, Andrew Brandt, who was a former agent, handled the contract negotiations, although Ted Thompson was the general manager and Ron Wolf prior to that.
Mm. Right. So they basically represent Peters and the owners, et cetera. So you can't necessarily, it's good actually, right? Kind of provides a buffer for the player, maybe on some level.
Yeah, well, the GM doesn't necessarily, most of them come from a scouting background, so that's not really their expertise. Like Howie Roseman is a little bit different. He's an attorney by trade who had to learn the football part and cut his teeth under Joe Banner, who was the smartest person I ever dealt with when he was running the Philadelphia Eagles. So he's a little bit different. Sometimes these cap guys will survive multiple regime changes. Like Vin Marino's been in Tennessee since 2007. Mike Reinfield hired him, and they've gone through multiple GMs and head coaches in Tennessee.
And they just keep him right. So in this Terry situation, we've tried to stay, you know, pretty positive, say medium, as Zorn would say, on the whole thing. And it's kind of standard, right? If you're an elite player at your position, and you got a year up on your deal, and you're kind of, even you may be approaching the back end of your prime, you're probably not going to show up to a mandatory mini camp until you got a new deal, right? Or at least you're discussing things.
Well, it depends on what type of progress is being made with the negotiations. If things are progressing nicely, then you may show up as a gesture of good faith. If you are in different hemispheres or there's not much dialogue, then you're probably not going to show up, and you're going to risk, in this case, what is essentially potentially a $105,000 fine, because that's roughly what you could be fined for missing all 3 days of minicamp. It is not a mandatory fine. It is at the team's discretion, so they don't have to fine him. We're still early in the process. I think Dan Quinn yesterday was pretty good in how he was approaching it. It's like, hey, they're not even close to training camp. So if we're talking July 23rd or 22nd or 24th, then this thing isn't done. There's a reason to be concerned. The last deal got done in early July for Terry.
Right. Yeah, I was going to ask you, what should the panic level be for Commanders fans now? It is very early in the process. Very low, I assume.
Yeah, no need to panic yet. If he's out there going, this organization is treating me unfairly, or doing what Trey Henderson is doing, I'm not going to play under my contract, I want to trade, that's a whole different dynamic than what you have here. Mm-hmm. He's been pretty quiet. He's not going out in the public making waves.
Right. Should he, do you think that he and his agent want to get to the salary closer to where the top receivers are? Now, I know he's not going to get $40 million a year like Chase, but that, you know, that $30 million range, or is it more years on the contract, guaranteed money that he's looking at?
Well, given his age, he's 30, he's going to want more security. And if I'm the Commanders, given the age, I don't want to give you the security that you got the last time around. Now, he's your number one receiver, so he's looking at the number one receiver market. If the Commanders aren't above T. Higgins, who is younger, he's 26, he's the highest paid number two receiver. On that team, he's a number two. Other places around the league, T. Higgins could be a one, but not in Cincinnati. That's $28.75 million per year. Mm-hmm. If I'm the agent, you haven't made me a good faith offer if you're not above T. Higgins. Now, the deal, which to me is going to be the sticking point probably for the Commanders, DK Metcalf. Came in the same year as McCorn, 2 years younger, hasn't quite been as productive, got a deal, 3-year extension, the same of maybe a month or several weeks after he signed in 2022. It's a $33 million extension when he was traded from Seattle to Pittsburgh. So that's the latest data point. Now, if I'm the agent, one question I would ask Adam Peters is, how do you view McCorn relative to Brandon Ayuk? If I get the answer that I think Ayuk is a better player, we got a problem. Because Ayuk signed last year in San Francisco, so Peters knows him well, for $30 million per year, with $45 million fully guaranteed at signing and $76 million in overall guarantees. So to me, the range is probably going to be between $30 and $33 million per year. And one thing about this Metcalf deal, it's a little bit it's a little backloaded because there's $35.5 million in the last year of the deal.
How do you think the Deebo Samuel contract factors into this one? Because Deebo, I believe, is up after this season.
Well, Deebo's got to play well. When was the last time Deebo played well?
No, he's got to stay healthy.
He needs to prove it.
Seriously. He hasn't been the same guy since he got paid. I know Adam knows him well, and he can bring a different dimension. But from what I've seen the past couple of years, if I'm Terry McLaurin, I'm not concerned about Deebo Samuel. Here's one thing you also have to take into consideration. If you don't do a deal with McLaurin, this franchise tag is going to be slightly over $30 million because the 120% salary provisions will kick in, and it won't be the tag number by the formula. And when it's 120% of prior year salary, and that salary is really cap number. So it's going to be work. It's going to be based off of his cap number, not his actual salary under this provisions of the CBA.
We're joined by Joel Corey from CBS Sports on the Rood Guest Hotline. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. So you touched on Trey Hendrickson. What is happening right now in Cincinnati with his holdout? And they also have a rookie that they picked at number 17, Shamar Stewart, who also plays on the defensive line, who's participating in meetings but is not practicing at this point because he has issues with the contract language. So this is a team that had issues on defense last year, and they'll be missing their top sack guy and their top draft pick heading into training camp. What's the scenario where these get worked out in Cincinnati?
Well, the rookies is going to be should be easier to work out. His is just a language issue. From my understanding, they want any type of default or breach. If he has if his guarantee has a default which voids his guarantees in 2026, then it would void all subsequent guarantees, not just the 2026 guarantee, which is the language they've had in the previous first-round pick deal. So I think he's in the right. They're trying to chart a new territory with him. What they've done in the past should be enough. I expect that one to get done before the start of training camp. If I represented him, he might not even be there. I'd be like, you know what? Until we get this thing worked out, work out on your own. This is a team that had their other defensive end retire, Hubbard. So they really shouldn't be playing around with the pass rush, considering the terrible defense got the old coordinator fired. And Henderson's case, the Bengals just don't want to pay the going rate. And it's unfortunate for them that the pass rusher market has escalated this year. It was Nick Bosa at the top at $34 million per year. Now it's Myles Garrett at $40 million. And it's going to keep going up before the season starts because Micah Parsons will reset the market. T.J. Watt, who became the highest-paid non-quarterback in 2021 at $28 million per year, which is supposedly where the Bengals are, or at least one of their most recent offer, is up for a new deal as well. he's going to want to be paid in a similar manner as the last time, near the top of the market. So it behooves the Bengals to get this thing done before there are more deals which push it up even more and make it harder for them to get to reach an agreement with Hendrickson.
Real quick, Joel, a couple of situations I want you to kind of predict on what's going to happen, quarterback related. Kirk Cousins in Atlanta, he did show up for the mandatory minicamp. And then fill us in on what the Browns are going to have to do. They can't carry four quarterbacks, can they?
Yeah, you could carry four. It's unusual. The Patriots did that in order to keep a young quarterback 1 year named Tom Brady. Cousins, I think, is stuck. And this is where being a nice guy doesn't pay off. Raheem Morris keeps making comments about how professional Cousins is, how he's not going to do anything to undermine Penix or make waves. The second he was benched last year was the time he needed to start making waves and give them a reason to get him out of the building. Because he is too nice, he is stuck in a situation. I've had nice players before where teams mistake kindness for weakness. They had to do something out of character to achieve a certain result.
By the way, I don't think we didn't ask him. I know we're around the league now. We haven't asked him about his thought on the Lattimore deal, right? I know your deal is your expertise is in negotiations, but you kind of commented on Samuel and his performance of late. I feel like this Lattimore deal is ultimately going to backfire on them. I think this is one they may have whiffed. What is your guess?
Well, he was injured last year, so you can't really.
Hadn't he been injured for like 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, well, that's the risk, but you don't have any bonus proration associated with the deal from when you acquired him. So it's low risk from that standpoint. If he's healthy, he's one of the better quarterbacks in the league. He didn't show it at times last year when he got back on the field. If he can return to the form that got him paid, then it's an upgrade. Corner was a weakness last year, so I understand why you went out and got him. But, yeah, I understand why there is some concern.
So you're more bullish on him than you are, say, Debo, because you're kind of down on Debo.
I haven't seen Debo really do anything since he got paid. So, yeah, I'm more down on Debo than I am on Lattimore. And cornerback was a bigger need than wide receiver.
Were you surprised that Aaron Rodgers signed for just $13 million?
Yeah, I was, because he's been a guy who's been someone who has been trying to get top dollar for most of his career. But I guess since he's now over 40 and he's made more money than practically anyone's ever played the game, then he doesn't need to get every last dollar. So it kind of was following what Drew Brees did to more of a extreme that later in his career, after driving a hard bargain with the Saints, he took discounts.
Joel, good stuff.
Good stuff, man.
Appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Sure, anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks, Joel. You, buddy.
Appreciate it, man.
Joel Corey, CBS Sports NFL analyst, former sports agent. I was looking at his bio, Cakes. You asked, you asked off air who he represented it, and he at least was part of a deal with Shaquille O'Neal.
Okay.
In NBA. He had John Randall in the NFL, a couple other notable names.
Nice.
So I don't know if he was the primary agent the way that it's written, but yeah, he did it for 16 years, but now he's been an NFL analyst for a bunch of years now.
So, Tyler Sullivan of CBS Sports did a panic meter, you know, holdout panic meter for, well, specifically for three players, the big names that are holding out: Hendrickson, Watt, and of course Terry. And Terry is the panic level says very low,
right?
So, and that's pretty much what Corey said.
Well, I think Quinn handled it perfectly yesterday. Quinn,
everyone's handling it great.
Yeah.
Until so proven otherwise, and I don't really think the fan base is upset. I think the fan base is sophisticated enough to get it.
Yeah, it's right? part of the business of football,
right? I don't like it when I see reports that he's unhappy, though. I don't want to see that.
You don't want Terry to be unhappy.
I don't want him to ever frown.
Is he unhappy? Some reason I thought I saw something.
It could be BS, but I didn't like the report.
I thought I saw something like he was fishing.
Maybe
he'd gone on a fishing trip.
That's good. That means he's chilling.
You can be unhappy fishing if you don't catch anything.
That's true.
Like all day, you're just waiting for a bite or a nibble. Nothing happens. I've been there. It kind of sucks.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is a weird song, B. You heard this song before?
Mm-mm.
You know what the chorus is? I'm just going to let you hear it. This song takes forever to get to the chorus. The chorus of the song is literally, You want to hear the whole thing? All right, we're excited to get to the Rude Guest get to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most dependable HVAC equipment in the DMV, and talk to Michael Gennetti, co-founder and the editor of SpotTrack, the best source for NFL, NBA, MLB, hockey, soccer, whatever kind of contract
you
and player,
it, they got
whatever
it.
Player information you want, head over to SpotTrack. Michael, what's up, man? Thanks for making time for us.
You're my first crash test dummies leading, so I appreciate it.
I mean, that song is really hard to explain to people that have never heard it. It is oddly catchy, but it is odd.
Yeah, they stopped halfway through on that one.
Yeah, for sure. Dude, so you and I were tweeting back and forth yesterday about Terry and this contract holdout. So you're an expert in the field of NFL contracts. Why don't we start there? Kind of where you think this Terry thing is. I know you guys wrote a story about kind of predicting summer contract extensions, including Terry McLaurin. Just let our listeners know kind of what you're expecting.
Yeah, I'm expecting a contract, first of all and foremost. I do think this gets to the finish line probably right around, but slightly before training camp. So I think that staying positive is step one here, but you know, the numbers are tough. You know, once you hit that 30 mark, that's sort of the line of demarcation, especially at this position, and that's where he's headed at least to start the season here. So we've got some positive steps in this direction, right? I mean, they brought in a player like Deebo Samuel, who's in a similar boat, and they were able to find a pretty good number in a renegotiation there. And Pittsburgh did them a real nice solid with bringing over DK Metcalf and handing him essentially a 2-for-$60 million contract. So about $30 million per year. That's not the foundation piece. DK is a year younger than Terry McLaurin. There's a similar skill set. There's a similar offensive style built around them. Very different quarterback situations, but that's certainly the foundational piece to look at. So, you know, when we're talking about projections and predictions, it's somewhere around that $32-33 million per year with a 2-year guarantee that takes us through 2026. So it's not a daunting situation in terms of locking down financials for the Commanders going forward long term, but you know, there's a lot of red flags that you can bring to the negotiating table, which is making this prolonged.
Yeah. I don't even think it's that complicated. Do you? Like, I think there are complicated contract scenarios. I don't particularly find this to be one of them.
No, I don't either. And this feels like such a no-brainer situation to keep him around, at least for the next couple of seasons, with Jaden Daniels sort of taking the next couple of steps, you know, into through his rookie contract and then into his first big contract. But the timing's right. You can overpay a little bit here to make sure McLaurin's happy and maybe even backpay him a little bit, right, for some of the work he's had to do in the dirty years. And then you go ahead forward and you get younger and you get cheaper when Jaden Daniels starts to cost you $70 million a year. So I just think it most teams in this situation pull the trigger on this one pretty quickly, and I expect we get there pretty soon here.
Yeah, I think when you look at it sometimes, like this deal seems to be something that's a no-brainer, okay? Mm-hmm. But it always takes every year something that seems stressful, like pressure. And then all of a sudden, boom, here we come with that, with the contract. And then you go, well, damn, why didn't they do that before?
Yeah, that's right. There's always a back and forth, at least what we hear publicly.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of outside factors that now become inside factors because of the social media world, right? So,
yes.
You know, the negotiations that are happening elsewhere right now with other wide receivers or maybe even – you know, the Cincinnati situation that went down in March and April may be further complicated, even something that seems as simple and elementary as getting McLaurin done for 2 years guaranteed. There's a world now where, you know, some of these other contracts that live out there at this position have pushed McLaurin to try to get that third year fully guaranteed. And maybe that's the sticking point we're dealing with here, which, you know, when you're talking about a 3-for-90 or maybe a 3-for-92 million on a full guarantee, that may be a little bit too far for Washington to go in terms of how they feel comfortable right now.
Do you think maybe they land with just like a guaranteed for injury in the third year or something?
That's probably what they're pushing for, and they're probably happy to offer that at this point in time. You know, if I'm McLaurin's agent, I'm saying, sure, we start there, but that becomes fully guaranteed in March of 2026, right? So I'm going to get that money. I'm going to give you a little bit of an out if you want to buy me out first, but I think you at least have to compromise halfway and give him an opportunity to make this 3 years, which, again, lines up with Jaden Daniels. Even though he'll have that extension, he'll still be cost-effectively friendly for the Washington Commanders in 2027 if we have to get to that point.
Yeah, absolutely. We are on the Rude Guest Hotline talking with Michael Jannetty, co-founder, editor, SpotTrack. I mean, listen, on my computer, for me personally, I always have at least two tabs of Pro Football Reference open and SpotTrack and Over the Cap. Like, you guys are just, like, you are a must. It's a resource. I mean, people, like, I read the New York Times. It's like, per SpotTrack, the new contract looks like this. You guys have created this industry where you dominate, and we appreciate you making time for us. I think we all agree that the Terry deal seems relatively, maybe it's not simple, but there's a very clear baseline for what we expect it to land at and kind of how Washington could get this thing done. You mentioned something interesting there that I think you might be able to really illustrate for fans why this was advantageous. I bet it was like 6 weeks ago, maybe 2 months ago even, that Washington converted some of Deebo Samuel's bonus money into salary, and that actually helped their cap. Can you expand on that so folks can understand?
Yeah, essentially they acquired, you know, a $17 million practical guarantee for Deebo Samuel. But in order to sort of operate for the rest of this offseason, because that was an early league year move to acquire him, you take about $15 million of that effectively and you push it out over the next 5 years using void years, something that's become super in vogue with most teams in the NFL over the past few years here. So, you know, what could have been $17-18 million against their cap this year is now just over $5 million, and they'll take the remaining 12 or so on after the contract voids in 2026, barring a contract extension, which could very much be on the table here. And by the way, which could also be further complicating the McLaurin discussion, right? Mm-hmm. Because if there's two mouths to feed within the course of 8-9 months here, that's a much different situation than anything they've had to deal with McLaurin in the past. So, yeah, the Deebo conversion certainly helped them get through March and April, and now they're trying to clean up a little bit of the remaining mess to get them into the season and then certainly ready for March of 2026.
And then I think another perhaps misconception, and you and I were kind of going back and forth on this, I think there are fans that are so focused on Jaden Daniels here in Washington, and rightfully so. Jaden's an absolute star. that they're like, oh man, you can't tie up all this money with Terry. You got to make sure you take care of Jaden. Mm-hmm. The Jaden contract extension is going to come and it's going to be massive. And I'll ask you your guesses at that. But it's not really going to – the timelines don't really intersect between McLaurin and Jaden, right?
No, it should never happen. I would expect that the plan right now internally is to extend Jaden as soon as possible, which would be March of 2027. And, you know, to give you the guess, we'll see what happens next offseason with C.J. Stroud. That's the big one that's going to push this envelope further. We'll see what happens with Lamar Jackson in the coming months. That should push the envelope much, much more, much, much higher. I think we'll be near $70 to $75 million a year by the time that Jaden Daniels is sitting down at the table. So huge, huge numbers. But to your point, to your original point here, we don't really need to worry from a cap perspective, right? Certainly there's going to be hundreds of millions of dollars handed out here over the course of 2027 through 2029. That's unavoidable with these quarterback contracts. But from a cap perspective, because of these bonuses that can be basically paid out every year, we can consider Jaden Daniels cost-effective, cap-friendly, essentially, you know, for the next four seasons, pretty comfortably, right? 2025 through 2028, he will be at least team-friendly from a cap perspective, which allows them to continue to build a juggernaut, right, and ramp up so that the timelines all sort of nicely come together in a staggered approach so they can maybe keep this thing together for, you know, 5 to 6 years and on a consistent basis, which is just getting harder and harder to do in every sport, let alone the NFL with the hard cap.
I just think that some fans need to just let those numbers be done, but people like you, because they look at the number and then they think about what they make and they're going to always think it's too much for everybody. And really, this is just what the going rate of most people.
No question. And let's also keep in mind, if they do sign an extension with Jaden in 2027, there'll be 2 years left on his rookie contract, which means if it's a 5-year extension, that's a 7-year contract total. So
yes,
the $75 million per year only applies to those 5 years we're adding on, which means over a 7-year span, maybe he's a $60 million per year quarterback from an actual perspective over the 7-year term. So
yeah,
getting it done early, as long as he's the slam dunk we think he's going to be, is of uber importance. And there's no better example of that than the Philadelphia Eagles over the past couple of seasons.
See, I had that same conversation on my golf trip, JP, with one of my buddies. You know, talking about the contract. And I had to let them know that this deal doesn't start till after that other contract is over.
Right. That's why they call it an extension.
They didn't understand what I was saying.
Talking with Mike Gennetti here from SpotTrack. You mentioned Lamar there. Now Lamar, I know he missed some OTAs, but I think he has just missed stuff at various times. I can't imagine that contract as a topic right now, but he does have like a $75 million cap hit next year or something.
Yeah. Yeah, they are actually making active negotiations with right now. And in terms of the bonuses you're talking about, he's missed every workout bonus he's ever had. So he just makes it he makes it a thing that, you know, you can build it in, but I'm not going to show up. So I'm happy to forfeit the $750,000 because I've got bigger fish to fry here. And, yeah, it sounds like that they're gonna get this done early. And rather than have to deal with March 15th next year when he's got a $74 million cap hit, and they've got to maneuver something around that, unlike you know what Dallas did, which was they converted some of Dak Prescott and then extended him months later. They don't want to get into that mess, so they're going to do it right now, I think, over the course of the next couple of months. And I would imagine that this time around, because remember the last time was a bit of a mess, but this time around he's going to be at the top of every single market value across the board including the guaranteed stuff this time. So I expect it to be an absolute blockbuster over the next couple of weeks here.
Wow. And what do you expect for Stroud, who's been so good? You know, that window to get the extension done is now open for him. Does he get – I mean, the top of the market at quarterback now is Dak still, right?
And
which is amazing in its own right. But, like, when does Dak start to fall off with these new Lamar and Stroud deals?
Yeah, I think the Lamar numbers really push things quite a bit here. And Stroud actually can't sign until January 1st, 2026. So,
but can't they work on the extension now or not till then? I guess, no, that's his third year. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they've got to get through one more year, and that's probably good news for him because Stroud certainly took a little bit of a step back last year with a banged-up offense and a lot of factors. But You know, if he bounces back into form, and as long as this this whatever's going on with the shoulder situation for him, as long as he looks the part again in 2025 here, he's going to be, you know, the next version of these rookie quarterbacks that go to the top of the market, probably in a cap adjusted version of Joe Burrow situation in Cincinnati, which will put, you know, tons of pressure on the Bryce Youngs and the Caleb Williams and all these other young guys who are stepping into plate next.
Talking with Mike Gennetti here from SpotTrac. You could follow him at SpotRac, joining us via the Rude Guest Hotline. Can you help us make sense of the Mahomes contract? Because when you look at it, like, from an AAV standpoint, he's pretty far down, the list. But we always hear that his actual cash in pocket every year is among the highest in the NFL. Like,
giving him stuff.
Yeah, like, what kind of deal does Mahomes have that's different than others?
Yeah, that's exactly the right approach, how you just framed that. He's a baseball guy from a baseball family, and he signed himself up to a baseball contract, unfortunately. He put himself on, 15 years when he should never have gone more than four in the current climate of sports financials, which is changing so fast and increasing so rapidly. It just got to a point 4 years into this contract where he looked around the room and he was saying the same things we were all saying. This guy's drastically underpaid for a, continual MVP candidate / Super Bowl MVP candidate. So the Kansas City Chiefs essentially renegotiated this thing in the middle of it and brought a ton of money forward over the course of 2024 through 2027. And yeah, he remains now on at least an average annual basis for these four seasons, one of the top two, three highest cash paid quarterbacks in football. So he's happy. He's comfortable. But once 2027 gets here, it's going to be time to start talking about him as well, which aligns nicely, by the way, with the Jaden conversation. So we will have a world where Patrick Mahomes and Jaden Daniels will be negotiating a contract at the exact same time.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Like I always say, like, if Pat wasn't mad, something is happening. And you never heard him say anything. He just kept getting into the renegotiations to keep moving forward.
That's right. And
some teams know how to do it, some teams don't.
That's right. And we said the same things about Brady, who took a very different approach, but was constantly getting top two, three cash payments every couple of seasons to make sure that he was happy and he was affable and that he didn't have to go to the public, and say things out loud. You're right. Pat's comfortable. He's very happy, this next couple of seasons, making $50-55 million cash per year here. And then we'll have to see what happens in two off seasons when things get really silly.
Yeah, that sounds like it's going to get nuts. If I can, a couple of edge rushers, Mike, that I'm curious about. Both Micah Parsons in Dallas and then Trey Hendrickson in Cincinnati. Now, these are different players with different skill sets and at different stages of their careers. Let's start in Dallas. What are your expectations with Parsons?
As big as humanly possible. I read this morning, and I believe everything Jerry Jones says because he's not afraid, that the numbers have been agreed to. And if that's the case, it has to be top everything, right? So I would expect it to be north of $40 million, probably in the $42 million per year range. I expect it to push way past Myles Garrett's $123 million guaranteed. I'd expect it to be closer to $140 million, right? And this is essentially a four-year practical contract through 2028. It's going to be big-time stuff. And I realize, from a production standpoint, from a little bit of injury standpoint, he's got some red flags, but he's also got age on his side. He's one year younger hitting this contract discussion than most edge rushers would be. So so we see this in baseball quite a bit where if you've got that 1 year advantage, you can really cash out. And I think that's what we're about to see over the next couple of days here.
And then what about Hendrickson? I mean, that Bengals situation just seems like a mess. You got the first rounder holding out. Yeah. They obviously paid the wideouts. Do you think they get it done with Hendrickson? And what do you think that contract looks like?
Boy, this is tough. This is one of those flip-flop situations where it feels like every week you have to change course. But, they're dragging this one out. The rookie stuff is a real mess, and I do think that will drag out into training camp. But in terms of Hendrickson, they're just going to have to look in the room and say, well, if we can't get it right with Shamar Stewart, who's supposed to be Henderson's eventual, replacement here, we better get it done at least for 2 years with Hendrickson, and it's going to have to be an overpay to get it done in that regard. So not unlike this McLaurin conversation, It's simply just going to be about getting the number over the next 2 years that fits. And whether that's 2 for 60, 2 for 70 on a practical guarantee, whatever it's going to take, they're eventually going to have to bend and break and just pay Trey Hendrickson everything he's worth, not just for this year and next year, but really some back pay as well, because they've been getting some incredible value out of that player.
These rookie contracts are slotted, so much so that this seems like it's just asinine. Why can't they get that deal done?
There's some back and forth with language. They're trying to essentially find every single loophole possible and put it and make it their favor, make it to their advantage, uh-huh. which is certain things happen with these first round picks where some of the money gets pushed into training camp roster bonuses. And the problem with that is you can pay a guy early, except for when he has the cash in hand, it's much, much harder to get that cash back. And that's essentially the argument that's being had here, is they're trying to slide more of the money into base salary, which gets paid out throughout the season, and less money into that upfront roster bonus. And there's sort of a percentage game happening, which, you know, it kind of goes up and down annually in the middle of that first round, but they're just trying to get every advantage, every dollar they can to be delayed in terms of being paid versus handing them something in the middle of summer where some things can go wrong.
This has been really, really great. I appreciate you making time for us. It's going to be – so you circling it back to Terry, you think mm-hmm. – B. Mitch and I, we have maintained our stance that unless this is a topic when we get to training camp, this really isn't a topic. Does that sound about right for you?
Absolutely. I'll restate what I said initially, which is I'm not even a little worried about this one. It just seems too simple to not get done. And if it takes a couple extra million, that's what the NFL is all about, right?
They got it.
I mean, I wish I was all about that. Mike, thank you so appreciate much for the time, man. Dude. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks.
All right. That's Michael Jannetty from SpotTrack, founder, editor. Awesome website. Awesome information. If you're not using that in your sports information gathering, you're missing out. You can give him a follow on socials at SpotTrack. SpotRac.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.